I'd like to now turn to the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. He's founder of the Rainbow Coalition, a former presidential candidate, and of course, longtime civil rights activist and icon as well. He worked alongside Congressman Lewis for decades, yeah. And was also, as people should remember, he was with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis on the day Dr. King was assassinated. So, Reverend Jackson, welcome to the program.
Good to hear your voice, Magna.
So, Reverend Jackson, first of all, tell us, what is it that you will miss most in your friend, John Lewis?
Well, we've been together since 1960. We both were sitting leaders. At that time, I've known John for 60 years. So I miss being able to call him on the phone, get a call from him. I think one of the mistakes that's been made in the analysis is that John joined the movement after 58 years of legal apartheid in America, separate but equal decision of Pleasant versus Ferguson. Thurgood Marshall led the drive across Baker Modern and to make apartheid illegal, 1954. Must hook up May 1754 with August 665. Let me put it this way. I asked Mrs. Parks one day, why did you sit in? She said, well, we're testing the 54 decision to see if it were valid. And so I thought about going to the back of the bus, but in the jail, I couldn't go back to the tumultuous period there. And so he joined Dr. King, who joined Rosa Parks, about protecting the law. It took us 8 years to get from public accommodations up in the back of the bus, 64. John took it to a greater conclusion. The other thing is that the 65 Voting Rights Act was democracy, was born in Selma, Alabama, not in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was about ideals. Only white male landowners could vote. White male landowners could vote. And that was no export back in that. White women couldn't vote. Blacks couldn't vote. And so, out of Selma, blacks could vote for the first time in 85 years. White women can serve on juries. 18 years ago, for the first time, they could vote on campuses. Native American people vote bilingually. So in many ways, it represents democracy, Selma, Alabama, not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
So, Reverend Jackson, your phone line's a little shaky here, so I just want to recap a tiny bit. If people couldn't hear all of it, you talked about... You talked about Plessy versus Ferguson, and you essentially just gave us a history of the work and fight to expand that American ideal that you were talking about.
The frame of May 1754, August 6, 1964, is the frame. John wrote Dr. King, and he's the boy from Troy. Dr. King had joined the movement led by Thurgood Marshall, the legal foundation. The huge decision to make. We were legally inferior to 54. The state's rights barbarism abounded, and there was no further protection from denying the right to vote. The back of the buses. Dr. King spoke in Washington, and John Lewis spoke from Florida to Maryland. We couldn't use a single public toilet. Black and brown folks sit behind lots of prison wall on American road trip bases. We couldn't use Holiday Inn or Howard Johnson. That was a struggle. John was a part of a struggle that had mature meaning. Those who fight today must look into a struggle that has lasting value.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to your point, Mr. Lewis was like you said, he was 17 when he first wrote to Dr. King, because he wanted to go to what's now called Troy University. So I take your point very, very well, Reverend Jackson. But what would you describe then, how do you view then what we should see as Congressman Lewis's role in that bigger historical movement that you're talking about?
He joined the SLC in 1960. The sit-in took place in Greensboro, North Carolina, February 1st. Students formed SNCC at Shaw University in the spring of that year. I hooked up with John in the fall of that year, 1960. And SNCC was connected to the other sub-branch soldiers. They were not focused on generation, but intergenerational. They joined the movement that was already in progress. Like Madeline Tumble joined ANC. They didn't just start something. They joined the movement to a greater conclusion. The youth vitality students marching around the country. And so John, with his courage and with his willingness to suffer, he was a valedictorian of our class. Many of us sat in. I was a judge in 1960 myself. But John is a valedictorian of our class. He suffered the most, endured the most. John was a long-distance runner.
A long-distance runner. What are you, do you have a favorite memory of Congressman Lewis that you think sort of really epitomizes the kind of man he was?
Well, sitting around talking with C.T. Vivian. C.T. Vivian, you know, who died the same day. C.T. From Missouri to Macomb. C.T. sat in 1947 in Macomb, Illinois, 8 years before Montgomery, 14 years before the sit-ins. We sat and talking with guys who'd been in that circle for a long time. I remember sitting around and talking about the history of our circle. And we live in a thing, we live under the law. And so we were rooted in it. That's why I urge those Black Lives Matter to be rooted in their ongoing struggle. So right now, we got the right to vote in 65. But then in 2013, the Roberts Court decapitated it, took away its sting. And federal protections. It must be protected. We must fight for the constitutional right to vote. My brother, if the Black Lives Matter movement gets the constitutional right to vote, it will make an indelible imprint in time. The constitutional right now we have 50 separate state elections. We don't have a national election. We have 50 elections. You see, it's its own apparatus. One for Washington, one for Mississippi, one for Seattle, one for Miami. We have a national election with guidelines that serve the right to vote. I hope that this movement today was not just on police, but on voting power, because police patrol us, or they control us. Politicians determine the behavior of police. Police don't determine the behavior of politicians. So politicians, the patrolmen, like for example, in Minnesota where George Floyd was killed, I went and met with the governor and met with the prosecutor from the county. See, he said he could do nothing about the guy who killed George Floyd. Well, we were able to get Keith Ellison, the state attorney general, who a majority of white state, he's the state attorney general. He immediately arrested the four and charged them. First time a white officer been in jail ever for killing a black in Minnesota. Politics determined police behavior. When the young man was killed in Atlanta, Georgia, Paul Howard was elected. Paul Howard charged him with murder. So John Saul said, the focus on police to me is like the epidermis. But politics is the bone marrow of this thing. Those who legislate and their priorities.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So just to underscore what you said defunding the police is like the epidermis, but politics is the marrow, right, of how you make change in the United States. I've just got a minute or two left with you, Reverend Jackson. I just want to ask you one more question. On Saturday, you put out a statement about Congressman Lewis. You said he is what patriotism and courage look like. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the character of this man that you knew so well?
Well, to be willing to grab the freedom, the buses. When I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, all the bus drivers were local, were white. All the Greyhound and Greyhound buses and Trevor buses were white, and you had to sit in the colored section. The Freedom Rides, which CT was a part of, by the way, was a dangerous mission. They set the bus on fire in Alabama. John was on those buses in Rochester, South Carolina, and Alabama. It was a real risk occurred. Matter of fact, they came to Atlanta. Dr. King discouraged them from taking it further south. The danger. John took the danger in half. He was on a burning bus. We was on a burning bridge. I want to ask George Wallace. George Wallace said we were in that prayer before he died and met with him. George, he had more blacks in his cabinet at that time than the Southern governor. So we talked. I said, why did you turn the dogs loose on all the marches? He just said, he said, I did my favor. I said, favor? See, he said, if I had not let the troopers beat them, the mob would have been worse. It never occurred to him to disperse the mob, but beat the marches. It's a kind of backwards and federal thinking we had to deal with. So that Sunday, we didn't anticipate the confrontation of King's in his church in Atlanta, Georgia, Abner's in his church in Atlanta, Georgia, and there's in his church in Atlanta, Georgia. King heard, got a note in the pulpit that the marches had just been beaten. He left the church and went to Selma. John Lewis and Jose were Miss Amelia Boynton. Don't leave her out. Miss Boynton, she is the woman who in Dallas County Boys League. She invited Dr. King to Selma in December of that year. Dr. King was there at the guest of the Dallas County Boys League. I'm saying this because there are some pieces here. John was not a show horse, he was a workhorse. John was not a hero, not a champion. When champions win, they ride the people's shoulders. Heroes win, people ride their shoulders. Who rode John's shoulders on the bus? Who rode John's shoulders in the voting rights act? John was a gift that kept on giving. I remember him a couple of weeks ago, and John, at that time, agreed to be the voting rights, along with Andy Young, who had a voting drive for the small. He was the gift that never stopped giving.
Well, Reverend Jesse Jackson... Yeah. Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., I thank you so very much for joining us today to help remember Congressman John Lewis. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Aaron Haynes, stand by for just a moment. We'll have more when we come back. This is On Point.